Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Let me pray and we'll get started. Lord, I just thank you for doing a work in advance of this moment in all of our hearts that allow us to perceive you, to know you, to grow in you, to be better as a result of the work you've already done. I pray, Lord, that I would only be emphasizing something that you're already sensitizing the room to. May we all embrace the word of the Lord for our church, for our lives. May we be different than we were when we came in after being under the anointing, teaching. God, we surrender these moments to you. Whatever you want to say, say it. However you want to move, move. Take full advantage of my willingness for you to think through my mind and speak through my mouth. I completely surrender. So give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It has become evident to me that you can start my clock or I'll preach all night. Thank you, somebody. It has become evident to me through numerous prophetic words that a primary assignment of this house is to pray. It's primary. We may think we pray some, but I'm going to tell you it's probably not enough. Probably the reason we only pray some is because we're getting blocked, or we're getting hindered, we're getting frustrated, or we lose sight of what it really takes to connect with God or get to God. And sometimes it's hard to articulate, especially if you've been walking with the Lord for some time. You know that your relationship is stale and that the solution is prayer, but you can't kind of get to the thing that's blocking you. Today, I hope to unblock you to a degree, but in order to really get where God wants us to go, we have to stay together for a season of intense teaching and focus on a subject matter to which we are divinely called to do and be. On the screen in the center behind me is hands. It's on there somewhere. See those hands? Like when I see those hands, most people see those hands, the first thing that comes to their mind is the diversity of our church. But the premise or the emphasis to me is far further reaching than that. I see the diversity as the objects or the different nationalities that we should be praying for. When I see those hands, I'm almost tormented by God, asking me, as much as I pray, and I do pray quite frequently, and often and long. But God reminding me of my responsibility to do this relentlessly. In fact, when I'm failing in my life at any degree, I can almost directly connect it to something missed in a prayer moment. So even though it is this vital, this important, this germane to the Christian faith, how can we be so estranged from it? We're going to deal with it. Now, Ephesians 6 says, just in case I ever get excited and I want a little reader, Pastor Bruce, are you taking notes? First of all, how can you read that text? That's too small. Oh. All right. One of y'all selected to read. Y'all just decide between you. Didn't bring your Bible to church. Phone Bibles.
I usually have my Bible.
Okay. First of all, that's amazing. Okay. They just sent me a joke. That's a big text. Praying. Okay, go ahead. Read.
and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Now stop. You, all types of prayer should be used, and you need to keep on praying. That means if sometimes we pray in the Spirit by praying in English. We sing in the Spirit by singing in English. We pray in another tongue. That's a type of prayer. We pray prayers of consecration, prayers of dedication, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of confession. We have all types of prayer that are needed. Prayers, warfare prayers. All types of prayer is needed, and God is receiving all types of prayer. But you need to pull out the prayer that is consistent with what you need. You don't want to be praying for a prophecy when you need a healing. You know, you don't want to be caught in endless thanksgiving when you're in warfare. You need to discern the moment and then pull out the right tool to pray. One of the things growing up as a saint in church, one of the things that they made us do was pray. Let me tell you how much they made us pray. Whenever they saw you, they say, you ain't praying. So how you know that? It's just, I can look at you, I can tell you've not been with God. And I'm amazed at where how I was raised in church, the boldness of the saints to just call you out on a subject that is so sensitive or necessary to you. All types of prayer are necessary for all God's people, and they need to keep it up. The next part of the text. Don't take my text down.
Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known to the mystery of the gospel.
Had nothing to do with my message. It was the next scripture, and I thought, man, this is a good opportunity to ask you, if you're trying to figure out what to pray for me, this is it. If you're figuring out what to pray for anybody who steps on that stage, this is it. I pray you pray it relentlessly. We will proclaim the mysteries of the gospel with boldness. This is my prayer request in this meeting, that you pray for me, for this church, all the time, for lost people, all the time. You have work to do every day. If you don't know what to say to God, you can pray for, you can thank him, you can pray for your church, you can pray for your family, you can pray for me, your pastor, you can pray for lost people. That's what you're asking. Now, as we get into today's message, we're going to go to 1 Peter now that I've contextualized what the next several weeks will be about. 6 a.m. prayer last week, we did warfare prayer. We got in there, and we just called the devil out. We used our power. The Bible says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil. You know, he gives us power to bind and to loose. He to cast down thoughts and imaginations, to war against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. And so we took authority and we did that. And you can feel in that prayer meeting that we weren't just saying words, we were getting results. You can feel it. You knew the confidence that we had, that God pushed back something in our city, in our church, in our families as a result of how we prayed. And we were happy. But that following week, man, I went through. It's like it was a bad week. And I was asking myself, how could I have served God? Pray, got up early in the morning and prayed. I mean, fierce prayer. Cried for folk, empathized. I'm doing my job, and yet the next day, I'm getting beat. Have anybody else ever did the right thing and then you get whooped? The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, so it seemed to me there's something about a victory that right after a victory, you are most vulnerable for a defeat. Right after the fast, you're going to fast, you're the most spiritual. The day that fast ends, the day you eat everything you shouldn't eat, you're going to go watch your favorite movie and TV shows, you're going to catch up, and you're just going to get carnal within 2 days after not eating for 5. And you're thinking, man, what was the result of that? You did a lot of work, but the scheme of the enemy still prevailed against you. The Bible says there is a scheme against you. There's an adversary against you. There's a devil against you. There's a God that is allowing you to be tested and pushed and prodded. If you're going to be in church and do any work Jesus called us to do, you'll be advancing the kingdom, and the gates of hell won't prevail, but gates don't move. It's because you're advancing against hell. If you're a part of a church that says they're going to preach the gospel at all costs and advance the kingdom, you have said to the devil and all his plan, hey, yeah, you, we fighting. Come on, let's go. And now you've got a victory in the Super Bowl, but then you get drunk driving. How could they go from the Super Bowl? You know, you thinking if you got that much money and all that, you know, and you win the Super Bowl, you thinking, I ain't going to do nothing stupid. And you think, how does somebody that talented, intelligent, do something stupid? It's because it's a scheme. The enemy is a worthy adversary because he is skillful at studying you and I. What if you're not the only person who knows your weakness? What if the spirit in the spirit realm, somebody's watching you do your weakness as a saint? So funny that we could get a victory one day and the devil can defeat us the next day because he's not coming with the same force. How do we know? We know his tendency. The Bible says when an evil spirit goes out of a man, what does he do? Comes back with what? 7 more. This brother said, I'm not going to lose to you, earthling, son of God, woman of God, Bible toting. He laughing at that. You know why he's laughing? Because the scheme is they can't fight more than a day. But the thing we just read is you pray with all kinds of prayer without ceasing or relentlessly. There is no success in life without consistent, constant prayer and communion and communication with God. You will be beaten every day with many stripes, and the next day could be even worse because you picked a fight with the devil, a worthy opponent. So if you have shown up, you had better show out, because sitting on the bench of this game, they'll come and slap you on the bench. Get off the bench. I hope you're waking up. As long as you see people getting up here saying, come to Jesus, hell is saying, oh, yeah, tonight. Let's see if that thing you called out doesn't show up in you. If your behavior pattern is a greater appetite for your favorite TV show than the word, your favorite movie and music than the word, you are set up to get slapped. And when you come to a meeting like this and we kind of pray at the end and you say, yeah, and you enter into a prayer of agreement with us as we advance in the spirit realm against what the devil thinks he can keep from us, you giving your address out. Now, don't get afraid, because I ain't got to how you defeat them yet. Don't get, we ain't going to start praying after all that. I don't even know if I won't be in the prayer meeting. I mean, God, Pastor Dan, you coming raw. Yeah. He points out or exploits your weak tendencies. You don't have to raise your hand, but you know that sin or iniquity in your life as a believer that no matter how long you have victory over it, it can still come up. I know I'm not alone, so I can preach it with confidence. It don't matter if you say amen or smile at me. I can preach it with confidence. And it disappoints you. And when you get a victory, the enemy whispers about your weakness or tempts you in the area of your weakness. And when you fall, you're not willing to fight the next day. You're saying stuff like, I'm going to wait till I get some more victory in my life before I fight. I'm going to wait. And now the advancing of the kingdom that God was doing through you or with you has been put on pause because you don't understand the way the war is being waged. And I'm going to help you so that you stop laying down your weaponry. Stop walking around as if there's a reprieve or a break in this war. There is no break. So whatever church or whatever somebody told you on your birthday, the devil don't tempt you. When you're on vacation, the devil don't tempt you. When you finally did that big test or got that promotion and you just want to celebrate a little bit. When you just want to take a drink and not get drunk. Whatever it is you want to do. That you think the devil's going to back up. He's not. In fact, that's his device. He waiting. Right then, right now, it's on. In fact, he does it when you are weak, comfortable, low key. Don't want to bother nobody no more. Well, he won't bother you then. Gonna bother you when you got your sword out. I hate the devil. He ain't gonna mess with you. He's backing up, running. He don't want you to see him in the spirit, call out his name, use your authority, and get him out. So, what do you do when your adversary pinpoints your weakness and you fall into agreement with him instead of and fall out of agreement with God about your weakness? How do you correct this? Because this is colossal. When you agree more with the devil about who you are, well, you know, I got tendencies. You know, I'm kind of pitiful. You know, I'm strong one day, I'm not the next. You know, I'm just going to take a break. You know, I'm going to try to use my soul power to get, you know, more spiritual discipline. I hate that I did that again. I'm tired of that thing. I just did the same thing. I just prayed for somebody not to do. Thank you. You honest woman of God, Lord, reward her in the next, in this kingdom and the next. I tell you the truth. Sin is no respecter of person. So if sin comes in your life, and let me help all the super saints like me in here know this. You sin. Everybody. He said it too proper. Everybody. No, everybody, Pastor Bruce. Everybody. Be in a diverse church for a minute, brother. Everybody. But the Bible says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. That means Jesus Christ is constantly praying for me that I don't fall into temptation, that I don't forget his gospel, forget his promises, forget his ways, forget that we're in a war, that I'm not overwhelmed, that I'm not put in a situation where I'm tempted above which I'm able, but with every temptation, a way of escape is provided that I might bear it. Jesus is doing that. And like Pastor Bruce says, the devil is obscuring The fact that when Jesus sees me and I'm saved, he's not seeing someone he needs to be angry about, because he's seeing himself. He's seeing his work. He's seeing his excellence. And your life is swallowed up in his victory. And the reason that we serve him is not because we're great, but we have a great God. And we're protected, and we're in the fellowship, and we're doing the work when we recognize that revelation, and that's it. Too often, I want to feel good about my good works as the strength of my prayer, the strength of my spiritual walk. It's my good works that's getting me the results. It's not my good Savior that's getting me the results. And it's getting me whooped. Because when you have confidence in your flesh, you're going to get messed up. You can't have the confidence there. So go to Peter now, 5, and I'm going to show you the secret 3 steps that God gave me at 6 a.m. prayer this morning that will help you. 2 things you could do that will help you have confidence in prayer. 2 things he'll help you do that will help you have confidence in prayer. Read 1 Peter 5:5. I'm sorry I didn't have my jacket. Where my suit jacket? I forgot to put it back on. I apologize, saints. It's like, you know, going to work, without your uniform. I apologize. Okay, ready, reader?
Ready.
Read.
In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble.
So, humble yourself. Show some humility. Show that you don't have it all together, but God want to use you. You're not defeating everything that you're judging, but God wants to use you. Humble yourself and stop inflating your walk, because you deflate his power. Stop. You're not that great. I'm not that great. You know, Pastor James is great. Look, God uses him to preach. This, what you watch, is his gift at work, not me at work. That's it. I wish I could take credit for it, but that'd be plagiary. That'd be stealing. I've got to finish this message, and I got to go live it. Nobody gets a pass at all. Humble yourself. What does humbling yourself look like? It looks like confession. It's hard to confess when you do something wrong. I'm so sorry. The reason I do it is because, you know, when you do this and I do it, that ain't confession. That's you trying to use. Confession is, you know what? What I've just done offends God. Or like David said it, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in sight. You're not saying I sinned because somebody was mean to me. I sinned because somebody cheated on me. I sinned because somebody lied on me. I was angry and I took it out on them, but they did something to me first. No, you have to confess your sin. If you have lust in your life, it's no sense in, you know, look, if you got lust in your life, there's no sense in acting like you don't, just so you can trick yourself into feeling better about yourself. To tell Jesus the truth that you're failing is to get power.
Right. Very good.
Great. To lie to yourself is to stay in bondage. That's it. The reason we don't want to confess is because the moment you confess something to a person or God, somebody start getting in your business. I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want, you know, correction and instruction. I just wanted to free my mind. Confession means you are extending God the invitation to check. In fact, the only reason you're confessing is because you saw what his righteous standard was and saw what you were not, and you fell into agreement with him. He that confesses his sins, confess and forsake. If we confess our sins, he is and just But the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. What gives place to the devil? Unconfessed sin. There it is. I'm talking about even what you think that's wrong. Troubling your conscience is wrong. You can, none of it, not acceptable. Confess leads to forsaking. Your first thing to defeat your enemy is to give God the power over you. Humble yourself to God. Say, God, your word is right. I am wrong. Don't make excuses. So when the enemy points out your weakness, you're not telling him, well, this is why it exists. This is what so-and-so and so-and-so does. This is why I can cheat on my wife. This is why I can look at whatever I want to look at because I'm being denied. This is why I can lie because I was lied to. No. You're saying, no, the Bible said, no lie works the righteousness of God. You can't do it. Boy, I used to think my anger was justified. You do something wrong to me, I got you. You shady, you this, let me tell you. You want to fight? That's my sin. It's going to come right on out. That's the one that's stalking me. It's stalking me. It's stalking me. It's saying, dang, we got some takers. One time my son walked up on me, you know, he says, I said, well, what would you say? He said, Dad, you're looking at me like I'm a stranger. I said, yeah. You're walking into, up on my weakness. I got to confess it. You ask any of the elders of the church, they don't tell you what I'm going to fall to. I through the grace of God, it's not going to be an extramarital affair. I don't accidentally cuss. I don't drink or do drugs. But if altercation is possible, y'all can, if y'all hear, like, you know, I saw Pastor James on the news. They said something happened, just say he gonna get out and explain it on Sunday. But you say, yeah, probably, you know, what's his name? James Lowe. Yeah, that's our pastor. I mean. That's his thing. He working on it. He told us he wasn't delivered. If the devil knows your weakness, you better know it. You better know it by confessing it. So here's what I want you to do to confess it. Get your little, if you don't have a, get a paper and a pen, and if you don't have something to write on, just write on the back of the offering envelope. Nothing I'm about to tell you is to embarrass you, or you're not exchanging or showing anybody anything. This is an individual exercise for the eyes of the Lord and you only, for the purposes of practicing in public, doing the right thing for private. That's all it is. If you're nervous, somebody might try to look on your paper, do like they did. When you know how smart people, they always try to cheat off smart people. So people like Bruce, they just had a paper like this. They look goody good. You know, just do that. Yeah, he know that spirit. Yeah. And I want you to write the three things that keep you from feeling confident about your faith, your prayer life, or doing work for God. What is the sin or iniquity that's in your way that you need to confess? By the way, let me help you here. He knows already. I think he's just waiting on you and him to get on the same page. Write it down. I'm writing mine down. Couple more seconds. You don't want to be thinking about this long. It's probably that first one that came to your mind. It's that one. Oh, yeah, I think I got it. No, it's that one. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Read the next verse. Just hold on to that and just fold it so nobody can see your paper.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
Now, when you start confessing and humbling yourself, that don't mean, that just means you're a candidate for exaltation, but that doesn't mean that the work is done to get you up there yet. This is the beginning. You just started it. Yeah. In due time means it might take time to adjust your mind, to adjust your behavior, to change your practices. Read next verse.
Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you.
Now here's point two, casting, throwing out. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Here's your confession. You know, you confess to some people. You ever confess something to somebody, and after you did it, you didn't feel relieved. You felt judged, condemned, and you thought to yourself, that was the biggest mistake of my life because I just told somebody something that made me vulnerable, and they just made me feel bad, and they made me feel like I'm a jerk, I'm a weakling, I'm something bad, and it made me think they don't care about me. So you cannot cast your cares on someone who doesn't care about you. See, love can cover a multitude of sin. The people, when somebody loves you, there are things I know I have never said. I don't even repeat them to myself. I'm in a position as a senior pastor where I am the gatekeeper of secrets. I don't obligate myself to tell my wife people's business. Well, you know, we won, so. No, that just sounds like gossip. Why I want to be talking about somebody's stuff? First of all, I don't do nothing that I don't want nobody to do to me. And if I do the wrong thing coming back to me. So, cast on it, he love you. How do you know he love you? He laid down his life for you. Nobody, Bible says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died. That means, when you were violating his covenant yet again, when you were being the reason he had to take the whips, and I was the reason he had to take the beatings, the scourgings, why God the Father had to forsake him and turn his back, I was the reason. That's why I like that old, where, Will, see, you ain't even in church when you're supposed to be. Where you at? Because when he said, when he sees me, he sees his righteousness. He sees the Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. When he looks at me, he sees the blood he shed. I'm glad he sees himself each time he looks at me. I'm glad he sees himself each time he looks at me. Wait a minute. Somebody to do this. Oh, what's that scripture say? He that would give his son, how would he also not freely give us all things? This, he didn't spare his own son. What are you trying to say? Whatever my best was, you got it. We running around looking for love from liars. What do I mean by that? 90% of the people who do online surveys or dating, especially in relationship, 90% lie about how they're going to love you. 86% of all people lie to their parents. 69% of people lie to their spouse. 80-some percent of people lie to their best friend. That's called a lying demon, a lying spirit. That's what it is. Because somebody might have said, I couldn't find nothing to write down. Write down liar. Okay? Hey, look, let's just get over it. Let's just confess our sins so we can get free. He loves us. He took the thing you couldn't deal with, the thing you couldn't get rid of, and said, I got this. So, how do you do it? I want you to take it, I want you to ball it up. Get it? Ball it up. Now, I'm going to give you instruction on what to do. Don't be wild. Okay? If you're self-conscious, I want you to cast it where you can get it in a second. Don't pick up, that's mine. Okay, just. I already know how people just be bound up in your mind. Did it help you? So I'll teach this now. I'll get to teaching. No, I don't have time tonight. Cast your cares. This is the stuff that bothers us. Why are you about to cast your care to the Lord? Because the Bible says he removes or he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers it no more, and he doesn't deal with us after or according to our sin. The reason that you can trust God with this type of stuff that's bottling you up is because he's not holding it against you. He's holding up his blood saying, I washed you, I cleansed you, I freed you. You're all right with me. He's not looking at you in anger because the thing that could be between you and him, you already gave it to him. Cast. Okay, so I want you to take it and I want you to throw it over your right shoulder just like that. Somebody threw it like, I'm sick of all my sins. That was great. I saw I should have threw mine. I'm sick of falling. Lord, help me. Okay. Can you see it? Is somebody tapping you on your shoulder? Hey, pick that up. Yes or no? No, they're not. It's not even in your mind. Nor is there anyone of authority, supreme authority, bringing it up against you. And if you want to know the scheme of the enemy against you, it's to convince you that your sins and iniquities are not forgiven and that you're useless for God and that you somehow lack power and that you cannot believe the scripture that says you have all power to overpower the enemy because you sinned yesterday. But he forgot you were redeemed. He forgot you were washed. He forgot you were set free. He forgot that he is plenteous in mercy. He is plenteous in goodness. This is what makes him good. Is that he can look at me and say, I don't see that. You know what you reminded me about stuff for? I don't remember. Look, I took care of you. Let's talk about our mission. This doesn't mean that there's no penalties for sin or there's no weights. What it means is sin doesn't have the power to stop your progress ultimately. So it's not over. You got it with him. The final point is confidence is restored. What type of confidence am I talking about, though? I'm going to read you the scripture, but you got to understand that it's the confidence that this is the confidence we have that we can ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And if he hears us, according to 1 John 5 and 14, then we have the petition that's before us. You can have confidence that he hears you, confidence that he's answering. But if the devil can convince you to stop talking to God and praying to God, which is your primary opportunity extended by God to commune with him, it's the focus of your church, the focus of your life. It is the genesis of your discipleship. This is it, prayer. But if he takes your confidence away, you're stuck. Read this last part of the verse.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us.
What you reading?
I'm reading 1 John 5:14.
No. 1 Peter. That's why I read 1 John. You 1 Peter 5 and 8 still.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Who? He He prowls around looking for someone to devour, means he can't devour everybody. If you got to look, that means you don't have just a gobble up anything spirit. Who are you? He can gobble up people who don't know their rights, who don't know their identity in Christ, who don't know their assignment, who don't know that they can have boldness and power and favor. He can gobble you up. He can destroy you. He can just rob you of everything you have, and you can just barely make it into heaven. Just, Jesus, I made it. He said, man, but look what all you were supposed to do. He may not get you to go to hell, but he'll just try to mess up your heaven. Read.
Resist him, standing firm in the faith.
Resist him. How do you resist him? You bring captive the thought he brings in opposition to God. Hold on. Wait a minute. That's not how God talks. He don't talk about my weaknesses. He talks about his strengths to me. He doesn't tell me what I'm not. He tells me who he is and what he's done. I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. No height, no depth, no creature, no principality, no angel, any other thing shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I've got confidence. The Bible says when you resist the devil, the Bible says he actually runs away afraid. He got you scared of the night, scared of confession. If I confess, I'm going to lose everything. You're going to get everything.
Right.
Who told you you would lose everything? That's a lie from the pit. The way you get everything in the kingdom is confession of sins. But the devil has told you if you confess something, you lose everything. That's a lie that he uses to keep you a hostage. Don't confess, man. You know, they'll get you. You're going to lose everything. You're going to get. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you find it. Resist. You mean, wait a minute. God, I got so much power over the power of the devil that if I resist him, if I hold him captive, if I say that's not how God speaks, that he, instead of fighting me, runs away? Afraid? What is he saying? They know who they are. Don't bother them. Read. I've got to hurry because y'all get out early in these services.
Standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with himself, restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast, to be him in the power forever and ever. Amen.
That's what he wants to do for you. How do you beat this devil? Confess. But confession alone is not, you got to act once you just get it out. Cast your care, be active in your faith. God's word says I'm this. Get your confidence back. And when you get your confidence back, that means your identity is strong. I was made to commune and communicate with God and advance his purposes on this earth. I'm at a church with an assignment. That's not just something cute. You know, our church has the cute hands and they put them up and it just reminds people that we like all people and it's just so cool. I think, you know, I'm just falling in love with our little hands, but you ain't prayed yet. The hands are a reminder of our assignment. God has promised us a mighty harvest. And I told Bruce today, God told me to begin to prophesy over you all the things he told me was going to happen. I'm going to do it tonight. I don't have time. And y'all just talk to the people who, the clock. Talk to the clock people. Yeah, see? He got a clock watching spirit. We need him. See, I'm doing my job. Yes. Okay. So on the end, there's so much available. You don't need to miss these next Wednesday nights because you won't get the equipment to survive. This ain't about, well, I want to come to my Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you will not survive If we don't learn how to think, the enemy's out for blood, but he ain't getting yours because I pray for you. I pray for you. And last note before I pray and dismiss, you have to understand the D for discipleship in our church means that we never do things alone. It means that we're always helping someone else follow Jesus to church, to a life group, to a prayer meeting. If you are only taking responsibility for yourself, you're under a demonic attack. If you only invest in you, I'm telling you, you'll go down. It is something miraculous happens in partnering with Jesus when you partner with his mission to help other people. You're not safe focused on you.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't safe, aren't safe.
Yeah.
Don't come to church just thinking about you. Have the effort. I got to get somebody to this life-changing moments. Whether it's Sunday, you've seen these altars, we're going to fill them with people who need Jesus' help. And you, who may not be ministers yet, I am calling you out. I'm demanding it of you. If you're here, I didn't ask God for a church full of members. I asked him for a church full of leaders. So if you didn't come here to be pushed, it's not your home. I am here to keep you safe. And what keeps you safe is keeping you on mission. And prayer is your safe place within this mission. Stand to your feet.
Lord God, thank you so much for this powerful message. Father, thank you, God, for just your presence, Lord, and for the reminder and a pastor and great leaders and a church that will never let us forget that our first assignment and our first job is to pray. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, for every single individual here. Bless us, God. Take us safely on our way home, Lord God. Father, let everything that we are putting forth before you, God, just as a symbol, God, where we're throwing those rolls of paper over our shoulder, God, to move past these things, to graduate from these things that have held us back. The enemy does not have any victory. He is a defeated foe. Though formidable, he is defeated, God. So we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, Father. And help us, Lord God. Help us, Father, to just desire more of you. Help us, Father, in our disciplines, in our time, in our prayer, Lord God. Father, even for myself, I'm right here confessing, God, I do not spend enough time in my word, glory, Lord God. But, Father, I'm changing that tonight. And I'm spending and yes. devoting my time with more of an effort and more of an emphasis, Lord God, because I'm going to see everything, Lord God, that you have called me to be and everything that all of us that you have called us to be, God, we will get there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. I will see you.